Geek Radio Daily for Anti-Friday. It's here again. But you have to look at the positive. You have to pick a goal and be like, hey, there's something worth getting through this day for.
And it's almost Mysticon.
It's going to be Mysticon, which is coming up this week. Which, as you may or may not remember, means that next week
we'll take a little bit of a tiny break.
Because, it's so weird. Hey, welcome
to have an hour-long show to edit.
18th of February. That's how you say that. We're the fine folks from GeekRadioDaily.com. You know us on Facebook and Twitter and all kinds of places like that. The folks bringing it to you now, well, ready to get out there again on this day. It's the Flintstress.
Buenos dias, cockfight. Guess who's back?
Hey. Must be that time of the week again. Hey there. I'm the wonderful Billy Flynn.
If I'm like Superman, I know when I'm needed.
I do. What happened today, yo?
Well, in 1885, The Adventures of Huckleberry Finn by Mark Twain is published in the U.S.
1908, Thomas Edison has issued a patent for an improvement to the alkaline storage battery.
I wonder who he stole that idea from. In 1913, English chemist Frederick Soddy introduces the term isotope to describe atoms of the same element that have different atomic masses.
1929, the first Academy Awards are announced. Nominees for Outstanding Picture, which they should keep that name for, are the films Seventh Heaven, The Racket, and Wings. Steven Weber was awesome.
In 1930, Clyde Tombaugh discovers the planet Pluto, becoming the only American astronomer to find a planet inside of the solar system. So technically no American has.
1946, television signals are first successfully transmitted from Washington, D.C. to New York City over AT&T coaxial cable.
In 1953, the first 3D feature film, Wanna Devil, directed by Arch Obler and starring Robert Stack, Barbara Britton, and Nigel Bruce, premieres at Lowe's State Theater in New York City. The film's tagline is, "The miracle of an age, a lion in your lap, a lover in your arms." It was produced for $400,000.
1963, the first National Medal of Science is awarded by U.S. President John F. Kennedy to Theodore Van Karman for his work at the Caltech Jet Propulsion Laboratory. He was not brokenhearted.
In 1977, the first Computer Shack franchise opened in Morristown, New Jersey.
77, the first space shuttle orbiter, the Enterprise, embarks on its maiden flight in captive mode, attached to the top of a Boeing 747 jumbo jet, and yet they charge me luggage fees. The flight is the first of five captive flights before the orbiter is finally released to land on its own.
In 1979, snow falls in the Sahara Desert in southern Algeria during a storm which lasts about a half an hour. It's the first and last time in recorded history.
1983, Jeff Weaver scores a record-setting 191,040 points playing Nintendo's Popeye arcade game at the Hoppin' Food in Roanoke, Virginia, where Mysticon is.
Yay.
We'll stop by this weekend and relive that moment.
Or not. In 1997, a Buddhist temple in Hiroshima, Japan, announces plans to open a virtual graveyard on the internet, which it's kind of cool. The deceased can be represented by government records, photos, and virtual gravestones. Families of the deceased can establish memorials at no charge, choosing from a range of tombstones, and they can also create their own memorials and informal wills in advance of their own death. It's kind of sad, but like, also kind of cool.
Sure. 1999, Abdul Treya, age 16, of Calgary, Canada, receives a threatening letter from the legal representation of Apple Computer. The letter demands the teenager turn over his internet domain, appleimac.com, without making any offer of compensation.
Hey, that's not fair. They should have at least had to pay him.
In about a month and a half, the matter will get settled out of court when Apple pays his legal fees and an additional token payment in exchange for the domain.
In 2000, Universal Studios releases a sci-fi film, Pitch Black, directed by David Tui, starring Vin Diesel.
Unleashing Riddick upon us all.
Uh-huh.
But hey, that one movie has a good scene. 2005, the 42nd known Mersenne Prime, M25964951, which can be expressed as 225964951-1, is discovered by Martin Nowak of Germany as part of the Great Internet Mersenne Prime Search Distributed Computing Project.
Think of that acronym.
Bring it out. The number consists of nearly 8 million digits.
And same year, Warner Brothers releases the film Constantine, directed by Francis Lawrence, starring Keanu Reeves, Rachel Weisz, and Tilda Swinton.
It's like an alternate universe kind of thing.
He didn't have blonde hair.
It's thematically similar. That's not John Constantine. Birthdays?
Melisse Zhao is 26. That's Iris on The Flash.
Chelsea Hobbs is 32. The Snow Queen. Make it or break it.
Ike Barinholtz is 40 from Mad TV and The Mindy Project.
And something else I'm forgetting. Matt Dillon is 53 from Outsiders. Something About Mary. My Bodyguard. And of course, Wild Things.
Tony Anselmo is 57. Since 1985, he's been the voice of Donald Duck.
Jane Atkinson is 58 from Criminal Minds and House of Cards.
John Travolta is 63 from Carrie, Welcome Back, Carter, and Pulp Fiction and The Experts.
Sybil Shepherd is 67 years of age from The Last Picture Show and, of course, Moonlighting, the modern-day Nick and Nora. Well, it was then. No one else has been able to do it.
No Longer With Us, born in 1919, Jack Palance, Hawk the Slayer, Batman, City Slickers, and Tango and Cash.
1922, Alan Melvin from Archie Bunker's Place, Sergeant Bilko, and was the voice of Megilla Gorilla.
Born in 1925, George Kennedy, Flight of the Phoenix, Cool Hand Luke, and Naked Gun.
Yeah, the movies. 1932, Milos Forman, He Brought Us the Fireman's Ball, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, and Amadeus, Amadeus, Oh, Oh, Amadeus.
Not on TV tonight, but on CBS we do get a new The Neighborhood, Man with a Plan, and Magnum's ex, who is responsible for Magnum and his friends being sent to the POW camp, is back on the island as part of her grand plan to steal away with a fortune's worth of gold on a new Magnum PI and a new book.
So many plot lines. ABC, right? A new Bachelor and Good Doctor.
On NBC, the results finale on a new America's Got Talent, and Ben, Grace, and Olive make a shocking discovery on a new Manifest.
On Fox, it's new The Resident, and then Lear helps Elizabeth to understand his touch decisions on a new The Passage. Touch decisions?
Or tough decisions? Who knows?
Get consent. It's that simple.
Huh. The CW has a rerun of Arrow and Black Lightning.
On Freeform, it's The Lion King.
On AMC, Crocodile Dundee and Crocodile Dundee 2.
Wow. It's like I thought I heard something and I didn't. A&E is showing John Wick.
On E, we get Locked Up in Love on a new dating, No Filter.
FX, White House Down, White House Down.
White House Down. FXX had Simpsons, Two Bad Neighbors, Bart to the Future, and Treehouse of Horror 7.
FXM is Anchorman 2, The Legend Continues.
Oh, not a good movie.
Meanders a bit, I would say.
Nope. On BBC America, Next Generation Marathon.
Ooh, Sci-Fi Channel is showing Ender's Game.
On TNT, Jay believes the Hodel case is falling in on itself after he receives a call from Karina on a new I Am the Night.
It's just coming in on itself. Somebody help me. I need a clue. Science, it's the new How the Universe Works.
On USA, it's WWE Monday Night Raw.
VH1, Pure Vida. On a new Love and Hip Hop.
Uh-huh.
We're watching the Lifetime Movie Network because a young girl undertakes the responsibility of babysitting, but soon finds the occupation to be more dangerous than expected when she spends the evening fighting for her life as she tries to escape from a malicious killer. Brittany Underwood, Reagan Pasternak, star in Babysitter's Nightmare.
The wonderful Billy Flynn looks at what soap opera's Billy Flynn is doing today. It's your Days of Our Lives Chad update.
Sierra battles Jordan to save Ben's life, and Ben is just like so grateful, and then he learns about her dark side. Abby and Chad reconnect after Charlotte's rescue, so just love the baby and stop being mad at each other. Sarah correctly guesses Rex cheated on her, and she confides in Eric, who is already working on a couple name. Rafe warns Ted to stay away from Hope. Wait till he finds out about last week's extra time in the, kiss. Hashtag Chabby. Forever.
Looks like you've got mail waiting.
Indeed we do. Oh my God. The opportunity. Oh my God. It was like watching the Iron Giant again and again with pauses to watch the episode where Fry finds out about his dog. Oh my God. That was the saddest thing ever. That is from Laurie.
Wow. You know,
it was. I mean, that message, that last message, my battery is going.
Right.
I can't see. Oh, my. It was horrible.
Have you seen the one online where the doctor goes and gets him?
Oh, see, I'd like to believe that. And that's how K9 comes about.
Right?
Huh? That'd be fantastic. Rover. You know, if you could share a more uplifting story with us, won't you please? It's podcast at geekradiodaily.com. We certainly could use it. Or you could always just tell it to us. And we could release it as an episode later by dialing the voicemail number of
510-GRD-CREW.
You'll get just as much money as we do.
Okay, you know what it's like. You're flicking through Amazon or the local DVD shop when suddenly you discover a film that you haven't seen in years, but which you remember as being legendary. The purchase is hastily made, you invite friends over, make popcorn, and settle down to watch this classic. But then it becomes apparent that your mind has double-crossed you. And that this film is frankly awful. Soon your friends have deserted you, your boss says he has to let you go, and even your dog won't come when you call. How did it go so wrong? Well, in the interests of public harmony, a new podcast, I Saw That Years Ago, sets out to watch the old films that your memory has convinced you are brilliant, but which in reality could be anything but. So join me, your host Martin Darkley, and my compatriot, Gentleman Joe, as we watch the old films so you don't have to. Find us at www.isawthatyearsago.com or on iTunes.
I am Joe Lansdale, and I'm here to say you need to listen to Geek Radio Daily.
You need to.
Yep.
Man would never steer you wrong. Come on, don't doubt him. He's got the street cred, yo. Oh, some folks were able to get out this weekend. What did they see over this lowest earning President Day weekend in 15 years?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, this week's 10, last week's 7 is Green Book made another $2.7 million. It's made almost $66 million in 14 weeks.
This week's 9, last week's 6, The Prodigy, $3.1 million, 11 in 2 weeks on a $6 million budget.
This week's 8, last week's 5, Glass. Made another $3.8 million. It's made almost $105 million on a $20 million budget.
This week's 7, last week's 4. The Upside, $5.5 million, 94 in 6 weeks on a $37 budget.
They made a lot of money. That's The Upside. This week's 6, last week's 3, Cold Pursuit, made $6 million. It's made a little over $21.
I always wonder how they get that number exact. This week's 5 is new. Happy Death Day to you. $9.8 million. It's made $13 million for the week because you got the early opening.
Right.
Crazy people. So it's $9 million budget. This Groundhog Day ripoff was not going to end.
Nope. This week's 4, last week's 2, What Men Want, made almost $11 million. It's made $36 in 2 weeks.
This week's 3 is also new. Isn't It Romantic? Made $14 million for a grand total of $20 million because, wow, they just opened up so early this week.
Yeah. This week's 2, last week's 1, the Lego Movie 2, the second part, made $21 million. It's made $63.
The number one movie in America is Alita Battle Angel, which I'm still calling Battle Angel Alita. $27.8 million. It's made $36 million thus far on a $170 million budget.
Yikes.
So it's going to need a lot of legs, probably about as much legs as it's got eyes. Oh!
I'm not wearing any pants. Film at 11.
Geek News! Taking a look at the world.
Geek News!
From a geeky point of view. Huh, it's weird that we do that. Transformers, a franchise that just keeps rolling right on along.
Even after Michael Bay tried to kill it?
Well, Bumblebee did reboot the live-action film, so they're trying to bring humanity to robot fights. But now Hasbro is partnering with Netflix and the online production company Rooster Teeth, best known for Red vs. Blue.
Oh, Red vs. Blue was good.
To bring the original animated series Transformers War for Cybertron. In this, they'll be telling the origin stories of the Transformers universe with a new animation look and style that will give the Autobots a look we have never seen before.
Transformers who are light red?
Serving as showrunner is franchise vet F.J. DeSanto and joining writers George Kurtzik from Megas XLR, Gavin Highknight from Transformers Cyberverse, Brandon Easton, Agent Carter, Transformers Rescue Bots, and Rooster Teeth can seem like an odd choice for some people, but they've been doing some more ambitious projects in recent years, the aforementioned RWBY, Ruby, and the most recent Project Genlock is cool.
But no Michael Bay, right?
In fact, they sent him a message. Dear director, we can all understand that the shift from autonomy to oversight can be a difficult adjustment for anyone, but especially someone of your standing. And in that spirit, we have attempted to accommodate your brief explanations to our serious inquiries. Nonetheless, I feel compelled to inform you that even our trust has its limits.
Nice. Well, Are You Afraid of the Dark? You remember that?
We're
getting a mini-series. Along with a planned movie hitting cinemas, Nickelodeon's classic horror anthology series, Are You Afraid of the Dark, is also returning to the small screen later this year, with the network reportedly planning a mini-series that will lead to the film. In the original series, a group of kids called the Midnight Society gathered around a campfire in the woods, and one of them would tell a tale of terror. The new mini-series would launch in October. Duh. And follow the new members of the Midnight Society. The miniseries aims to coincide with the upcoming film from Paramount Pictures, Paramount Players, and Nickelodeon Movies, which launches in the cinemas at about the same time. DJ Caruso helps that film from a script by Gary Dauberman and Ben David Gabrinsky. If you were a fan of Are You Afraid of the Dark? You should probably check it out.
It was like 92 or 93. I found that show because Halloween night, nothing worthwhile was on. And here on Nickelodeon, was it? It's like, Are You Afraid of the Dark? Okay, well, what's this? Oh my God, an actually good show. Hey, Hasbro is all over the news. Apparently every other story is theirs. They have the Nerf brand, and that's what brings us to the Fortnite-themed Nerf guns.
Of course, it was only a matter of time.
The previously announced ARL Elite Blaster, modeled after the Scar and Epic Games hit Battle Royale, is just one of many. Prior to today, it was the only thing confirmed back when this was first announced, back June of last year, for $50, and that's still going to be the same, but But now they've also said they're going to be selling an SPL Elite modeled after the Silencer pistol, the TSR Super Soaker modeled after the Tactical Shotgun, an HCE Super Soaker modeled after the Extra Powerful Handgun, and an RL Super Soaker based on the game's RPG weapon. They also include some small handheld blasters that look like they would fit into the overall scheme of things, but you know, that's fine.
I mean, kids are like super obsessed with Fortnite. It's not a surprise that they would go this route.
I mean, I'm surprised they don't have like dance videos that they can buy. And Fortnite is a perfect thing to come join the whole Nerf and even Super Soaker style varieties, because Fortnite, for all of its incredible violence it likes to do, is a family-friendly game in that there is no blood and whatnot, so it's all cartoonish violence, just like you experience with your very own folks.
Right, yay, fun.
Now, personally, I'm holding out for a Nerf Kevin. Come on, Hasbro, a Nerf Kevin!
That would be fun. And kind of cool science news. Well, you would have had to have been in Hawaii to see it, but a solar flare, 10 billion times more powerful than the Earth's sun, blasted out of the tip of Orion's sword. Kind of cool, right? Back in November of 2016, astronomers watched a young star, some 1,500 light years away from Earth, belch out an explosion of plasma and radiation that was roughly 10 billion times more powerful than any flare ever seen leaving Earth's sun. This sudden stellar eruption may be the most luminous known flare ever released by a young star, and it could help scientists better understand the still murky process of star formation. So observing these flares around these young stars is new territory, and scientists are just now being able to kind of process this data. It's giving them key insights into the physical conditions of these systems. They had to use the James Clerk Maxwell Telescope perched atop Hawaii's dormant Mauna Kea volcano. The flare originated from the binary star. It's two solar systems where two big stars orbit around one another, and it's located in the Orion Nebula, and it's actually like at the belt of Orion, and then his sword is held down, so it's kind of like in the vicinity. You can see, if you can find Orion's belt, you could probably see where this at least happened. This nebula is the closest active star-forming region to Earth and is frequently studied by astronomers interested in the birth of stars and planets. You can actually see the nebula with the naked eye when you look for the Orion constellation. It's the middle star in Orion's sword, just south of his belt. So how did the 2016 flare manage to burst billions of times stronger than our sun's worst solar storms? The researchers aren't sure, but it's probably had something to do with the fact that the star is still very, very young. Like, I guess a young vampire is super powerful, and so, like, a young sun is, like, super powerful. But it's been sucking up gargantuan amounts of nearby matter to fuel its growth. Equally unknown are the effects that such massive energy explosions have on young solar systems. The super hot X-ray radiation emitted from flares like these could potentially change the chemistry of nearby bodies, like meteors, or possibly alter the atmosphere of young planets. I wonder if someone was looking out of the telescope and actually observed the phenomenon. Because then it probably would have looked like a lightsaber shooting out from a sword.
No, universe, I am your father. Okay. And because more and more we have to end these things on a sad note, let's talk about archiving and why archiving is essentially one of the most important things in anything you do, especially the entertainment industry. Because without the work of an archivist, so many artifacts are lost forever. Right, BBC?
Huh? Yeah. Huh?
And among archivists in entertainment, Dave Smith passed away on Friday. He was one of the most influential. He was the founder and first head of the Walt Disney Archives, a department within Disney dedicated to archiving their films, TV shows, production materials, producing a massive, extensive archive of history that has given the company and the world a better view at how one of the modern entertainment's most influential entities managed to rise to power and hid some of the stuff that Walt Disney secretly did. In a statement, CEO Bob Iger said that Dave is one of the unsung heroes of Disney's history, who, as our first archivist, spent 40 years rescuing countless documents and artifacts from obscurity, investing endless hours restoring and preserving those priceless pieces of our legacy, and putting them in context to tell our story. Now, Dave Smith retired from his position in 2010, so they didn't start archiving until 1970. Disney didn't start archiving until 1970. He passed away at age 78 in Burbank, California. His contributions will so outlive him because people will be watching that stuff forever and talking about the stuff that he saved forever. So thank you, sir, and thank you to all the archivists out there. That is not easy in the slightest. GRD is licensed with the Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Non-Derivative Works United States 3.0 license. Go check us out on Facebook and on Twitter and stop by the website at geekradiodaily.com. It's always a fun thing for you to do.
Yep, do it.
I mean, just why not? And go see what's over there at youtube.com/geekradiodaily. I'm sure someone's thought of something to put on there in the past 6 minutes.
Carol saw a movie.
What would that be on YouTube?
I don't know.
Do you want those on YouTube as well? Should we just
I do want them on YouTube.
Should we put audio on a visual platform? Wouldn't that be cool? Call us right now. Let us know. Don't we all? Podcast at geekradiodaily.com. You could always send us a voicemail too.
510-GRD-CREW.
Come on, Carol. Get to me. You give good face. You're in vogue.
Well, we have nothing big and flashy to show you this week.
I have no patience for useless things.
Listen, ladies, it's been real and it's been fun.
But has it been real fun? Mm-mm. Nope.
Say this. Son of a bitch makes a connection with us and with Axis Chemicals. What kind of damage are we looking at?
If he ties us in with Axis Chemical, we're dead and buried. We should move immediately.
I say we break into the place, trash the office, and make off with the records and say it was industrial espionage.
Jack. Smart thinking. That's the way to go, in fact. I'd like you to handle this operation personally. That's all, gentlemen. Thank you. Thank you, gentlemen. That's all.
Carl, we get somebody else to do this. And the fumes in that place.
Jack. It's an important job. I need someone I can trust. You are my number one guy. Now, don't forget.